and welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related, and I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin.
And we've got a great show for you this week. We're obviously going to be catching up on the news and all of that, but our deep dive, you are not going to want to miss. I got ChatGPT to lie to me, and we are going to go through that. We're also going to talk about how this can basically be ramped up as a supercharger for disinformation. This is potentially an amazing product, but also terrifying as well. You do not want to miss this. This is a unique take on ChatGPT and the future of technology, so stick around for that. And as always, let's start with the news. We are actually talking about online privacy laws here in the United States, because they're a bit of a mess right now, and here's what's going on. This is coming from Politico, and I think this is actually an important one, so heads up if you're a U.S. citizen. A broad bipartisan federal privacy bill died in Congress last year, and that has now quickly become the template for a state-by-state campaign to enact basically new, tougher restrictions on how Americans' personal data can be mined and shared. Remember, we have 50 states here in the United States, and so this is basically a huge push. Now, lawmakers in both Massachusetts and Illinois are already proposing privacy measures modeled off after that federal bill, and Democrats in Indiana are using it as an inspiration to strengthen legislation that already has been proposed. We're going to see where that goes. The Democrats do not run the state house, and obviously we know that's contention, but then again, everybody should be agreeing on privacy laws. Sadly, we're not. Four other states have already passed their own data privacy laws in the past 2 years, raising anxiety levels among tech companies about a national patchwork of hard-to-navigate data rules, but encouraging advocates who see basically an appetite for broader consumer protections. This is something I've talked about consistently, and we will get to that patchwork because that is one of the big problems that we have. Now, the new state house push is focusing, basically it's focused on by privacy advocates, and it's not necessarily designed to go across all 50 states, but rather tighten up regulations just enough in enough places to force the tech industry into a de facto national standard. Meaning, if they're able to get, let's say, 35 out of 50 states, and it's just this hodgepodge and all of that, maybe we come up with a national standard, even though Congress won't act. They are also hoping to enact a state-level privacy proposal system that aligns closely with what Congress did attempt to pass with the American Data and Privacy Protection Act. In other words, regulations that would limit what data companies can collect and share, create a data broker registry, and establish new rights for Americans to actually delete the data that they have on you. Now, they are playing catch-up, though, to industry-led campaigns that basically have made significant headway in several states, including Virginia and Utah, where weaker laws were enacted over the past 2 years. The Electronic Privacy Information Center, which is a D.C.-based nonprofit, is at the center of the multi-state house push among privacy advocates to strengthen these laws. That group has been pressing lawmakers in Maryland and Michigan to introduce state versions of the measure to basically make as many inroads into states as possible. Now, they're leaning on the bipartisan origins of their new bill, which basically Representative Frank Pallone, Democrat of New Jersey, and Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, Republican of Washington, they're leaning on them to give basically them an advantage against the large tech industry groups like TechNet and the Internet Association. And this is exactly what I've been talking about. We need a GDPR-style law here in the United States. I think it's absolutely outrageous that we don't. And if you think this is against the Constitution in any which way, your right to privacy online is not being respected. So if you actually believe in the Constitution, you should believe in the right to privacy, whether it's in your house, in your car, or when you are logging into wherever you're logging into online. We do not have that right now in the United States when it comes to online, even though we have it for our homes, our cars, and anywhere else. And so that is a huge problem. And what we are seeing right now
On the flip side is a patchwork of states. California's spun up the CCPA. New York has SHIELD. Illinois has the BIPA for biometric information. And what that does is it makes the Facebook and Twitters of the world, it puts them in a very precarious situation because, okay, state one resident has these laws, state two resident has these laws, state 48 resident has these laws, and on and on and on. We need a national standard. And they have been working night and day, meaning the Facebooks of the world, to basically get something there where there are so many loopholes that they can essentially just drive right through it and continue to data mine and make profit. Understand that the commodity that most of the internet runs on right now, big tech, Google, Facebook, Twitter, take your pick, is data mining you to sell it to others. And you really don't have a recourse in there. If you're using that product, you don't have visibility. If you're in the EU and you're using those products, you absolutely do. If you're in other countries around the world, you absolutely do. The United States is not leading the way in privacy laws, even though, quite frankly, we have the Constitution, for 2+ centuries, almost 250 years at this point, that says we have a right to privacy. It has not kept up because the founding fathers would never have conceived of the internet. And so, here we are. This is a huge problem. We need to fix this. I highly urge getting, on the bandwagon with this, because if we can force a national GDPR style law here in the United States, we're all better off. And that's something that's just not happening. And quite frankly, if we don't get on this, we're still going to be data mined to the nth degree. And that is a huge problem because we're just continuing to lose privacy. We're continuing to give money to those that, quite frankly, shouldn't be profiting off of us, and here we are. So I see this as a huge problem, and I don't care if you're just like, well, I'll pay $5 a month not to get data mined, or it should be free and I won't get data mined. Whatever your thoughts are, the bottom line is you have a right to privacy in this country. That right to privacy does not extend online in the way it should unless you're in a handful of states, and it should apply to every single person here in the United States, regardless of the state you're in. And that is your news of the day.
And before we head over to the next segment, I wanted to let you know, and I've done this in a couple of shows, and I keep being reminded to do this, and I always forget. Basically, if you didn't know, I put out content on a daily basis, not just here on the radio where you're listening to me, but actually I put it quite a lot of places, daily podcasts and videos on some of the latest trends, technology, cybersecurity, privacy, all these kinds of things I keep day to day. And some of the segments that I do for my news section or even my breaches of the week every Sunday gets translated into this show. But I do this as essentially a labor of love. I don't have any kind of monetization anywhere. I just do it to keep people informed and to keep everybody interested. But you can find me basically on Twitter or Facebook at @NickAESP or on LinkedIn and YouTube at @NickEspinoza. And please follow me. I'd love to basically get a shout out from you and send me a message or whatever it is. But I do content daily and I hope you guys enjoy it. And so that is my quick blurb.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for breaches of the week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at @NickAESP. Again, that's @NickAESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions@securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin.
And breaches are what we have this week. My God, was it a crazy week. But before, as always, I begin, I want to thank the following people that sent me a lot of these. And that would be David Brogan, Jay Dance, Barrett Peterson, and Chris Fowlon. Guys, thank you very much. And if you have a tip for me, please send it my way, and I'll give you a shout out here. And here's what's going on. And we're going to start with Stanford University, because the hits just keep on coming. Stanford University disclosed a data breach after files containing economics PhD program admission information was downloaded from their website between December of last year through January of this year. Now, last week, the university sent data breach notifications letters to 897 individuals who submitted personal and health information as part of a graduate application to the Department of Economics, informing them that their info was essentially accessed without authorization. So what we are talking about here are names, dates of birth, home and mailing addresses, phone numbers, email addresses race, ethnicity, citizenship, and gender. Apparently, financial and social security info was not exposed. I don't know if you are an outside citizen without a social security number and a national ID, if that was part of it, but heads up to you if you're an economics PhD candidate at Stanford University. Moving on. Let's talk about gaming giant Activision, because on December 4th, attackers successfully phished an employee at Activision, gaining access to some internal employee in-game data. Now, here's the interesting thing. This breach was not disclosed until last weekend when cybersecurity and malware research group VX Underground posted on Twitter screenshots of the stolen data as well as the attackers' messages on Activision's internal Slack channel. But the public weren't the only ones that were caught off guard by this. Activision had yet to notify their own employees of this data breach and whether their data was stolen, according to two Activision employees who spoke to the press on the condition of anonymity. And it's never a good thing when you find out in the news that your company was breached because they're not telling you. So Activision, get it together. We've also heard of other cultural issues there, excuse me, as well. Moving on, let's talk about revenue cycle management company Revenetics, or Reventix. And that's an interesting term, revenue cycle management. I don't think I've heard that one before. Anyway, they notified 250,918 individuals of some basically a healthcare data breach that impacted some of their patient information. Revenetics detected a cyber intruder within their systems on December 15th of last year. The incident basically exposed patient names, addresses, medical record, and patient account numbers, social security numbers, dates of birth, driver's license numbers, health plan names and IDs, financial information, and clinical data. And the hospital that has had to declare so far as a result of Revenetics' breach is the Memphis, Tennessee-based Regional One Health. So if you use Regional One for all your health needs, heads up to you. Or if your health care provider uses Revenetics, which you probably wouldn't know, uh-oh, here we are. Moving on. Let's head on over to Southern Nevada and talk about Rancho Mesquite Casino, because a class action lawsuit filed this past Wednesday alleges that Rancho Mesquite Casino's computer systems were left vulnerable to a cyber attack, leaving the personal information of more than 200,000 of their customers and employees exposed, according to court documents. The lawsuit accuses the company of negligence, breach of contract, and other counts. It asks the jury to obviously award monetary damages to the class participants, and here we are. So if you've ever done gambling or worked for or gambled in or whatever Rancho Mesquite Casino in Southern Nevada, you may eventually be entitled to compensation. Moving on, let's talk about Rockler Companies, because on February 17th, they filed a notice of data breach with the Attorney General of Maine and Massachusetts following a data security incident resulting in the personal information of 8,604 consumers being leaked. What we are talking about here are consumers' names, social security numbers, driver's license, financial account numbers, and credit or debit card numbers. After confirming this breach, Rockler began sending out breach notification letters, so heads up to you, if you use Rockler for all your Rockling needs. I don't know what they do. Moving on. And I know what these guys do. Let's talk about Landry's. Now, Landry's, this is an update from their 2014 data breach. Yes, 9 years later, because Landry's is on the hook for $20 million now in losses suffered by JP Morgan Chase Bank as a result of that 2014 data breach of Landry's payment processing system. And that is according to a recent ruling by the federal appellate court. Now, the multi-billion dollar operator of restaurants, hotels, and casinos had a contractual obligation to indemnify Chase for assessments imposed on the bank by Visa and MasterCard as a result of this breach. And that is according to that circuit federal court ruling. So the assessments arose as a result of Landry's failure to abide by required security controls. So obviously that's a huge thing. So if you're a patron of any one of the 8 bazillion things that Landry's owns, heads up to you. Moving on. Let's talk about MTech Inc. Basically, on February 21st, about a week or so ago, they filed notice of data breach with several states' attorney general's offices, including Maine and Texas. Confidential consumer information apparently was leaked following a cyber attack. And according to their filing, what we are talking about are names, addresses, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, financial account information, and protected health information. They've also sent out letters of notification as well. So heads up, if you use MTech for whatever MTech does. Moving on, let's talk about Cleveland Brothers Holding. I'm going to imagine they're just in Cleveland. On February 17th, they filed a notice of breach with the Maine Attorney General after learning that quote-unquote unusual activity on their networks resulted in an unauthorized party gaining access to consumer information. And so what we're talking about there are names and social security numbers. They've also sent out letters as well. So heads up, Cleveland Brothers Holdings, Inc. Customers. Moving on. Quick update on the Los Angeles Unified School District, who had probably the worst education breach in the history of the United States in the last couple of months or so. The LA Unified School District disclosed this past Wednesday that, quote, approximately 2,000 student assessment records were posted on the dark web as a result of that recent cyber attack, including those for 60 students who are currently enrolled. Now, the posted records also include an unspecified number of driver's license numbers and social security numbers. The district statement did not say who this information belonged to, but the system does not routinely collect social security numbers from students, so possibly employees. What I'm guessing here happened is they're going through ransomware negotiations and they're not going as planned, and so they dumped 2,000 of them, I think potentially millions of records that they had from the LAUSD. So I think this is going to continue to unfold. You know, I'll keep you up to date here, so stay tuned. Moving on. Let's go next door, basically, to the LA Unified School District and talk about the Long Beach, California school system. Now, there's not much information on this, but they recently notified families this past Wednesday of a data breach that so far appears to contain the email addresses of students and student ID numbers. So I don't have more information, but heads up to you. If you've got a student in the Long Beach, California school system, LAUSD is not the only one you've got to worry about. Moving on, let's talk about Commonwealth University. Letters are being mailed to the last known permanent addresses of 2,158 users whose personally identifiable information was involved in a data breach on the physician assistant portal at Commonwealth University Lock Haven. So heads up to you, if you've used the physician assistant portal at Commonwealth University Lock Haven, you may be getting a letter. Never a fun day. Moving on. Let's talk about a software platform called Audience View Campus. They manage online ticket sales for venues like universities. And they just recently informed USASC, or the University of Saskatchewan up in Canada, that basically they had a data breach, including credit card purchases through USASC's website, huskytickets.com, between February 17th through the 21st of this year. And so obviously this is a new one. We'll see where this goes. But if you're a big Huskies fan, the University of Saskatchewan, go Huskies, you might have a problem, especially if you're buying tickets and going to games. And moving on, let's talk about True Health New Mexico. This is actually an update because they just agreed to a class action settlement to resolve claims that it failed to protect patient data from a 2021 data breach. I went back and looked, and I definitely talked about this when this incident affected about 63,000 patients. Now, under the terms of the settlement, class members can receive reimbursements up to $250 of data breach-related expenses like credit card related costs, bank fees, communication charges, etc., and up to 5 hours of lost time at a rate of $20 an hour. Class members who experience extraordinary expenses related to the breach can receive higher payments of up to $5,000 for actual documented and unreimbursed monetary losses caused by fraud or identity theft resulting from the data breach. This reimbursement may include 3 additional hours of unreimbursed time at $20 an hour. You have until August 14th of this year to submit a claim. So heads up to you, True Health New Mexico patients, go get your money. Moving on, let's talk about O'Neill Industries Inc. Excuse me. On February 17th, they filed with the Texas Attorney General after learning that confidential consumer information stored on their infrastructure was accessible to an unauthorized party. We were talking names, addresses, social security numbers. After this, they sent letters out to those affected. So heads up, O'Neill Industries employees and customers. Moving on. We're going to talk about a company formerly known as Pegasus Group Australia. Now they're known as My Rewards, still in Australia. Now, preliminary investigations pointed to an unauthorized access on their systems in August of 2021, which led to this data compromise. We're just finding out about this now, apparently. Now, that meant that personally identifiable information, including names, email addresses, and phone numbers, likely were made publicly available. And there you go. All of their data, they're saying, were stored in Australia. So they're not violating any foreign laws on that one, but the one big organization so far in Australia that has had to had to declare is a retailer known as The Good Guys. So if you shop at The Good Guys and you're part of their My Rewards program or whatever they call their rewards program, heads up to you, you may be involved in this data breach. Moving on, we're going to talk about the maritime-based Empire Co. They are the parent company of Sobeys, which is what we are talking about today. They just acknowledged that customers and employees, past and present, are receiving letters saying that their personal information may have been compromised. Quote, we have seen no evidence that personal data was accessed or removed from our servers. However, out of an abundance of caution, we have sent notifications to those who could have been potentially impacted and in compliance with our regulatory obligations. IT security always has been a priority for us, and on and on and on. I don't have much more for that, but heads up to you if you use Sobeys for all your Sobey needs. Moving on, let's talk about First National Bank out of New Zealand. That's right, we're heading back down under. So if you've applied for a home loan through First National Bank, and specifically their app in recent months, your personal information may have been compromised. The data includes personally identifiable information such as names, identity numbers, and contact details. And here we are. Obviously, if you're filing for a mortgage or a home loan through a bank, they're getting everything about you. I don't care where you are, New Zealand, US, wherever. So heads up to you, First National Bank customers of New Zealand. Moving on, this is an interesting one. I actually talked about this one back in 2018, 2019. I went back and looked. I keep my notes, people. I keep my notes. But we are talking about Vastaamo. Now, this is a Finnish psychotherapy organization. And as I mentioned, in 2018, 2019, they got hit that exposed tens of thousands of Finns' mental health information. Now we have an update because the hacker suspected of stealing tens of thousands of these patient records has now been extradited to Finland, according to his lawyer yesterday. And basically, he was arrested in France. So his lawyer, Peter Jari, told AFP that the 25-year-old suspect, Julius Kivimaki, is now being held in Vanta prison near Helsinki, Finland. Kivimaki was arrested in Paris on February 3rd on the run from a European arrest warrant issued by the Finnish police in October of 2022. So clearly this guy had 6 months, 5 months, something like that, on the run. French authorities gave the green light for his extradition, and I'm sure the Finns are very happy to have him and prosecute him, and there we are. Obviously, that was a huge and very important data breach because, obviously, therapists are writing a lot of very sensitive information about your inner quirks, your inner child, your inner whatever. Nobody ever wants that stuff to get out, so that was a huge one. Moving on. We have to talk about food giant Dole, as in Dole Foods. And I had a few different people send me this one. So if I forgot your name at the beginning of this, I'll get you next week. Just let me know, because I literally, this was one of the big ones. Basically, a cyber attack earlier this month forced produce giant Dole to temporarily shut down production plants in North America and halt food shipments to grocery stores, according to a company memo that was obtained by CNN and other publications. Now, this previously unreported hack with a source familiar with the incident said that it was ransomware, and it led grocery shoppers to complain on Facebook in recent days that store shelves have been missing Dole-made salad kits. Quote, Dole Food Company is in the midst of a cyber attack and have subsequently shut down our systems throughout North America. That is according to Emmanuel Lazopoulos, senior vice president at Dole's Fresh Vegetables Division, obviously makers of the salad kit. And that was in a February 10th memo to the retailers that are receiving these that we buy. Dole has 4 processing plants in the United States and employs more than 3,000 people, according to their company lease. So obviously that is a huge supply chain hit, because Dole is one of the major suppliers of a lot of the food that we see in our grocery stores. And so if they go down across North America, obviously it's going to be a lot harder to keep things in stock. So there you go. Are we going to see the price of salad rise in the next month? Probably. We'll see. And finally, excuse me, we have a couple of finalies for you. Actually, a few finalies for you, because there was a lot of crazy news this week. And first one we're going to be talking about are 2,000 companies. And this isn't good, because around 2,000 companies and China's foreign exchange platform that use 2 data centers in Asia are seeing a number of their login passwords being offered for sale in the dark web. Major data centers run by GDS Holdings in Shanghai and ST Telemedia Global in Singapore have reportedly been hacked. Now, according to Bloomberg, the stolen login credentials are for customer support websites, and at least 5 such sites have subsequently been accessed. Now, the attackers were responsible have seemingly had these credentials for over a year. My God. But in January of this year, they offered them for sale at for $175,000. They said that they have confirmed that some work, but have been overwhelmed by the sheer volume of logins that they have. Now, the customer centers basically have been forcing password changes on all of their customers at the start of this year. Once this came to light, it has not been revealed which customers were among those that accessed. However, the complete list of customers exposed, according to the sale of these passwords, are Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alibaba, Goldman Sachs, and Walmart. That is absolutely huge. Now, Bloomberg, the reporting organization here, says that many have declined to comment. Apple failed to respond and all of that. Microsoft basically said, we take our security seriously. Default boilerplate stuff. But my God, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alibaba, Goldman Sachs, and Walmart, they all have to declare data breaches in some way, shape, or form due to this. That is a huge, huge thing. I will definitely, definitely, definitely keep you up to date on that. Moving on. We have to talk about another massive corporation, and that would be News Corp. Now, if you're not familiar with News Corp, we will get to them because they say that attackers behind a breach disclosed in 2022 first gains access into its systems 2 years before in February of 2020. That's right. This has been unfolding for like 3 years, even though this was caught basically two plus years in. Now, this was revealed in a data breach notification letter sent to employees affected by this breach who had some of their personal and health information accessed while the threat actors had access to an email and document storage system used by several News Corp businesses. This incident affected multiple news arms of the conglomerate, including the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, and its UK news operations. Quote, based on the investigation, News Corp understands that between February of 2020 and January of 2022, about 2 years, an unauthorized party gained access to certain business documents and emails from a limited number of its personnel's accounts in the affected system, some of which contain personal information. Our investigation indicates that this activity does not appear to be focused on exploiting personal information. We are not aware of reports of identity theft or fraud in connection with this issue, end quote. Now, according to News Corp, basically the personal information accessed by the attackers could have been dates of birth, social security numbers, driver's license, passport numbers, financial account information, medical and health insurance information, and on and on, not to mention personal correspondence and all that kind of stuff. Now, here's where it gets worse. Here's where it gets worse, because the media giant said last year, when it first disclosed a security breach, that the attackers were associated with a foreign government, that they had exfiltrated some data during that time that they had access to the system. And I quote, from Mandiant, specifically David Wong, VP of Incident Response at Mandiant, talking to Bleeping Computer at that time. Quote, Mandiant assesses that those behind this activity have a China nexus, and we believe they are likely involved in espionage activities to collect intelligence to benefit China's interests, end quote. Now, News Corp properties include the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, MarketWatch, Fox News, the behemoth and cable news, Barron's, The Sun, and the news the news UK British newspaper publisher, among many other things.
And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.